Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
What a challenge today for us to be able to say we put our trust in Him today. Amazing, absolutely amazing. We're going to go to Acts chapter 12, verses 5 through 15. We're still talking about the Holy Spirit. When you talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's part 8. My goodness, we've been in this for a long time. But today we're going to specifically focus on breaking chains that bind us. Amen. I'm not going to ask you how many of you are bound, because it's got to kind of end up productive, because I just want to say how many of you want to be set free. That's the most important thing. Let's go into Acts chapter 12, verse 5 through 15. You'll get the responding verses behind me. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church.
And the Spirit was about to bring him out. That night he was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping him in prison.
Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, and saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands.
And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your armor and follow me."
And he went out and followed him, and did not know that what he was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer.
When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate.
I'm going to stop right there. Some of us, we get so excited. Well, I'm going to leave it alone. I got plenty to tell you after this. Verse 15 together. Let's read that together. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept on saying, "Then they said, 'It is his angel.'" Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, clear up our minds. Clear up our thinking. Clear up all the things that are within us that would keep us from believing what we prayed for. Because, Lord, if there's one lesson we need to leave here today, is that oftentimes we're in chains. God sends deliverance, but we refuse to believe what God's done. And we look at the old paradigm of our experience, and we allow ourselves to remain in bondage even after God has given us his word and he's given us opportunity to be set free. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, for we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus and all God's people said.
Amen.
You may be seated. I'm probably going to expedite a few things, and I hope my person up there that's working with some of the notes I've given, and we're going to have to change things around a little bit. But let me just kind of introduce my thoughts today. When we talk about, regardless of all the cures and coping devices that have been created by man, there is nothing more powerful than prayer. How many believe that? Some people go through therapy. I have nothing wrong with that whole opportunity. But you know what? Prayer is the key to deliverance. And this story really, this account in the Bible does something. It raises a couple of points. And I think that where I'm going to even start off today is that we pray about a lot of things. How many of you pray every day? Just go ahead and wave. It's okay. But how many of you listen to what God's saying to you after you pray? We pray every day, but we don't listen to what God has to say. We kind of put out our laundry list and say, okay, this is God, what I want. And then God may have something to say to you and say, in Jesus' name, amen, we're gone. Work with me, folks. Here's a couple of things I want to suggest to you. First of all, do you realize that all prayers are directed by the power of the Holy Spirit? And that's important because prayer is the key to deliverance. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever lost your keys? The rest of you are lying. And I want to tell you, when you lose your keys, your world comes to a screeching halt, especially if they're the keys to your car, because you can't go nowhere till you find your keys. Somebody work with me. Without your keys, you're not going anywhere. I need to suggest something to you today. Without the key of prayer, you are going nowhere. You're spinning in circles. You're trying to get your footing on the ground. I don't care if you watch all the Christian TV there is and you have podcasts on your iPhone or whatever it is, you are going nowhere. The only key to having deliverance in your life is prayer as you're making it before God. Well, the second thing I suggest to you is that physical chains imposed by man have no power over the Holy Spirit that fills the life of a believer. You say, you make some pretty bold statements today. That's the absolute truth. Some of the bondage that many of you came here with today will be gone by the time you walk out that door. Because the prayer of the righteous availeth much, and God is going to send deliverance today. Amen. Unless you want to stay like you are. We want you to change. I want to tell you right now, because some of you are scary. And you need deliverance today. Third thing I would suggest to you is this. God's blessings rest upon a praying church. Amen. And this particular account in the Bible that I'll probably make a lot of reference to without going a few other places, is the whole idea of people getting together to pray was for one particular thing. Peter was in jail and he needed deliverance from jail. And I believe there are people in this room right now that need deliverance from something. And I had this, not only it was a thought, it's really a strong impression in my spirit. That some of you came here, and I'm not talking about some people that we already know that are they're struggling with drugs, but some of you have got drugs in your glove compartment right now. Well, somebody says, oh, Lord, you're going to point me out. I probably will. And that's what you got going to carry you through next week or tonight or tomorrow, whoever you're going to hook up with. But I want to tell you, by the time we finish, you will have no need for them. So you'll feel like, oh, I don't need this anymore, because God's going to bring some deliverance in the house today. Get ready. Get ready. Well, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that breaks the chains that bind us. We're going to go to Acts chapter 16, verse 26. This is a scripture we left off with last week. And this is another time when God brought some deliverance of some people that were in chains. I need to make reference to this, and then we're going to go expeditiously through the particular account we have today. This is another time when a couple of God's faithful were in jail. Paul and Silas were in jail. And you pick it up at verse 26. It says these words. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. God is going to shake this place today. Do you hear what I say? How many believe that? But here's the part I love about it, and it says everyone's chains were loosed. Look at me. I said everybody's chains were loose. The part I like about that is, remember Paul and Silas, they're the Christians. They're the believers. And I want to get some of you folks to get over your fact that, you know, I've been a Christian all my life. That's a lie. You weren't a Christian until you repented of your sins. You might have been in church all your life, but until you called on Jesus, you have not become a Christian until you called on Jesus. So I want to help you with some of the things that we hold on to. We hold on to a lot of things. Well, we've been under the influence of Christian teaching all of our life, but we really haven't been a Christian all of our life. But here's what happened. God shook the place. And the reason why he shook it was because there were some believing people there that were in bondage. Now, isn't that interesting? Believers in bondage. Did you ever draw that parallel there? Now you say, well, this is, yeah, they're in jail and they're arrested under false pretenses. Doesn't matter. I believe there are believers in this house today in bondage. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus. The reason why I say that is sometimes we look at people's physical bondage and forget about the spiritual bondage that they're in. We know how to do church. We know how to raise our hands. We know how to do, and this is not putting down anyone. But at the same time, the Bible says here that the Holy Spirit set up an ambush. And because the powers that be had put Paul and Silas in jail, here's what occurs. God says, I'm going to do something, but I'm going to make sure that no one projects it as being something accidental. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to shake the place so they really know that something's going on. Whole lot of shaking going on. I say that for a reason. Because God's going to shake you up before he sets you free. And part of the shaking that he does, he makes you aware that it's only by his presence. Because where did that come from? How many of you have been through an earthquake before? Anybody been through an earthquake? Some of you have been through the little tremors. Ooh, what was that? God needs to get some of you at level 10. Where you can't control it anymore. Where you lose control and you're just kind of reeling and rocking. And you're just, oh, oh, oh. Because God wants you to feel that he's doing something. Many times we want to dismiss emotions. We want to dismiss the fact that, you know, we want to be prim and proper and all the various things that happen. Because we don't want people to know that we're like everybody else. Believe me, God's doing some shaking in the earth today that everybody's going to feel it. You will lose your decorum. You ain't going to look so good. But I'll tell you, the end result is that God's going to set you free. My question is, are you willing to surrender your pride in order to be set free? Amen. And so the deal is this. So they're all in prison. And of course, if you know the whole thing as it goes, it's about midnight and they're up there praising. They're thinking, God, praising God, this type of thing. And the Bible says suddenly, this earthquake happens and chains fell off. And here's the part I love about this, because I'm going to expedite and go a little bit further into the message. It says, and the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. Some of you have been waiting for a door of opportunity to open. I don't know whether it's financially, I don't know whether it's for a job, I don't know whether it's for other types of things in your life. But I want to let you know that Holy Spirit is able to open doors that no man can shut. And so he's going to open those particular doors. But at the same time the doors are open, the chains were taken off of folks. Now here's the part that I sometimes have a hard time figuring out. God does his part of opening doors. And God does his part of taking the chains off. But some of you refuse to walk through the door that God has opened. I want to talk to you about opportunities that God has put before us. Because see, some of us, we just want to be free to do our own thing. Ooh, Jesus. Why did he say that? See, you don't want to be free to do God's thing. You want to be free to do your own thing. But the doors that God is opening before you will advance his kingdom. And that's what this thing is all about. So with those things in mind, I'm going to go forward into a couple of things that I think that'll be important. You know, when the Holy Spirit does things, works cannot be denied. Paul and Silas took the opportunity to preach to those that were in prison, going down a little bit further to my, I'm at part C there in, for your notes that you have there, my friend. And what happens is that Paul and Silas, instead of just getting all their things and running out the door, they began to preach to those who were in prison. Just being set free is not good enough. God's giving you an assignment that you need to preach to those people that are still in that prison of circumstances. So some of you are so free, you want to get liberated, and you want to get your thing, you want to get your job, you want to get your home, you want to get all the things in order, and you forget about those people that are still in prison. Not just to the situation of being bound, but they're in prison. And you know, the only way they're going to hear is through you being obedient to Christ and sharing what you know about Jesus. There's a reason why sometimes God allows us to go through adversity. And I know that Paul and Silas, they were preaching the gospel, and they did what they were supposed to do. And sometimes you go through hard stuff and it really isn't fair. But God puts you in that situation for a reason. And I believe that God's going to make good on all the things he's done. Suffering is hard. Do not pray, oh God, allow me to suffer for your name's sake. That's crazy. I'm going to lay hands on you to remove that demon. Because, honey, it's going to come. Those that live godly are going to suffer persecution. So just live godly and it'll come already. So don't be praying to suffer. But it would appear that, Paul has taken an opportunity to preach to those who are in prison. And the fact of the matter is, after this occurs, if I skip down a little bit further, Paul shares Jesus with them to the point that they repented and accepted the message of salvation. I'm saying all this to kind of set us up for what happens in the before then with the Peter thing. Here's what I think is important. We must, I believe, regardless of what situation we find ourselves in, look for the opportunity to maximize the reason why we're going through hard stuff. And what does that mean? Means that everything that you're going through right now has a divine purpose in it. Is that okay? And so that being the case, as the whole context says, they preach and the declaration is made and to the point where they preach, and the jailer, who's kind of concerned that everybody's going to be leaving the prison, he's going to, you know, he's ready to kill himself. He says, don't worry about it. Do yourself no harm. We're still here. You know, I learned about that little portion of scripture. As a matter of fact, I'll read it for you here. It says, and the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors were open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Listen to me. Do not allow your freedom to be an opportunity for someone else to lose their life. So what does that mean? Because you don't care about what happens to other people. I'm just going out here free as far as it's concerned. God says, if it means staying another day in jail, if it means staying a few more moments behind in that place you really didn't want to be in the first place, will you stay there and allow someone else to be set free for what it really means? Well, that's a tough question. Because we get so busy for our own personal comfort and such that we're not willing to just linger behind and say, well, they got to do it, every man for himself. I'm out of here. That being said, I want to take you back into Acts chapter 12, verse 5, and then I'll tie all this together. I'm kind of putting this together so that will fit with the time that's allotted me today. We pray our prayers with the end result on our mind. Back into chapter 12, verse 5, here's the deal. It says this, constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Now, I'm going to ask you a question when you pray. When you pray, do you see God answering your prayer, or do you see that you just prayed and hope that God does something different? Hope that God does. You know, Prayer is not like when you wish upon a star. It won't get you very far. Okay? Can I help you with that? Because he's, oh Lord, I hope that he gets out of prison, because you know that's a nasty, filthy place to be. Really? So that's the source of your life. I hope he doesn't have to stay in prison very long, Lord. Huh? Because here's the reason why I wrote it out this way. When we pray our prayers with the end result on our mind, what do you expect to happen when you pray? Because the Bible says here very clearly, prayer was being, he was kept in prison, but constant prayer for him was offered to God for him by the church. But you know what I found out in the church? There are all kinds of prayers. Lord, don't let nothing too bad happen to him while he's in prison. Lord, help him to make friends while he's in prison. See, we don't see him getting out. We see him there. Well, Lord, just you know, while he's there, Lord, just use him for your honor and for your glory. I'm thinking, what is wrong with us? The end result, if we're praying, prayers being made for him, says, Lord, get him out of, because let me give you the revelation of what's going to happen here. Here's the deal. Okay. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Do you realize that they planned on him staying there? This was not like, let's see what happens. No. Because the plan was, they're going to bring him out and they're going to get rid of him. This wasn't a temporary stay. And I think sometimes we forget about the real issues that are going on. And we pray what I call comfortable prayers. Lord, if it be your will that he die in prison, your will be done. Do not pray for me when I go, okay? Keep your little prayers to yourself. If that's all the faith you got, you keep them prayers. If you got to have a prayer of deliverance, do not pray for me. I don't need your prayers. But I want somebody to grab the horns of the altar and say, Lord, whatever, you have to tear that prison down. Get him out. You have to have something in mind when you pray. They used to say prayer changes conditions. And it does. But I got to get through this whole analogy here, and I'm doing the best I can, but I don't want to miss some of the points that are here. So the Bible exhorts us to pray without ceasing, and of course, that's what's happening. They're having this prayer meeting, and it's kind of good because it kind of proves out here later on, we find out that the church is praying. But do they believe what they're praying for? The bondage of the enemy will try to cloud our mind with all the reasons why we will not or should not get the answer we are seeking from the Lord. Ever started praying and then all of a sudden all the thoughts came to your mind as to why it's not going to happen? Lord, I need you to deliver me out of this financial burden I'm in. Of course, they probably won't let me get out of this because, you know, my credit score is kind of a little weak. And, you know, and I did. And we just talk ourselves out of what God can do. I know you've never done like anything like this before. This will probably be the first time. You probably won't do it for me because you still, you know, you probably, you know, upset with something I didn't do last week when I said I was going to do something for you. Our focus must be on Jesus rather than our troubles, despair, depression, sufferings, and sorrows. We got to focus on Jesus. And that's what's wrong with our prayers. Because I tell you what, as we start praying, all of a sudden troubles come into our mind. I want all the perfect prayers to raise your hands. I know they don't exist, but just in case you're that arrogant. But have you ever sat down to pray and all of a sudden everything comes into your mind? And what you're praying about? You know, I need to change the timing belt in my car. Now, you're praying about something else, but all of a sudden that comes to the forefront of your mind. Or, you know, I need to take care of whatever it happens. Do you realize that unless we're able to really get a hold of God and focus on what we're praying for, the enemy will ambush our prayers. And nothing will get done. The devil desires to blind us with chains of memories of things of our troubled past. I'm going to get specific in a moment, so look out. We're more often held prisoner to our mind in the thoughts of the past defeats and failures. Sound familiar? How about this? Condemnation and personal struggles will undermine your belief of God's love for you. I won't ask everyone who's struggling to raise their hand, but we struggle. I'd struggle. But the enemy will try to tell you, in order for you to pray, you have to be free from struggles. Therefore, you don't pray. How about this? Get ready. Chains of guilt over sexual sins will hold us hostage to thoughts and feelings of unworthiness. Now I'm going to get in your grill. Do you realize in the Christian church, in a Pentecostal church, charismatic church, people have sexual dysfunctionality and sexual thoughts that would counteract that go against what a Holy Ghost Spirit-filled believer looks like, that they go on the internet on places they shouldn't go. He said, you're bringing that up in church, Pastor. You shouldn't be saying that. That's what folks are doing. And what will happen is when you get ready to pray, he will remind you of the website you just visited half an hour ago. Right, listen to me. Listen to me. Or a week ago. Or whenever it was, because the enemy will lead you into that particular place and then he will use it as evidence against you that God will not hear you, especially in a desperate situation. You're no good. God's not going to hear you. Sorrow and resentment over broken relationships will bring us untold grief and pain. Fear of being hurt or abandoned will hinder our faith to believe in God that he can intervene and bring deliverance. One more. A guilty conscience will often displace forgiveness, the forgiveness of Jesus on the cross that atones for all of our sin. God wants to bring deliverance and freedom from our bondage. Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 through 15. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Everybody say today.
Today.
Say deliverance.
Deliverance.
Comes from me.
Comes from
today.
Today.
In the name of Jesus,
I can be set free.
Today. Okay, here we go. And so we should stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which will accomplish you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Now here's the deal. This is the children of Israel, and they're looking behind them, and the Egyptians are coming after them. The dust is being blown up there. They're riding their chariots. And Jesus, and God, I love about God, he doesn't imagine that the enemy isn't there. He says, you actually see them. They're riding toward you. It looks like they're overtaking. He says, but let me tell you what the vision you should have. The Egyptians that you see today, you will not see them again, no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how fast they're gaining momentum on you. God says you're going to be delivered today, and you'll never see them again. What does that mean? You say, well, you mean, Pastor, are you saying that God can deliver me from this habit I've had forever, and I never have to go back to him? That's exactly what God's word says. Oh, come on. Come on. Let me just bring it back to you. Here we go. God does not want you to have temporary relief, but rather permanent deliverance. Bear aspirin brings temporary relief. But when it wears off, the pain comes back. Well, that's not putting down on the pharmaceuticals. It's just bring temporary relief. But let me look at this. We must overcome the fear of the enemy as being the one that will forever hold us as a slave. Can I just kind of bring you the whole context? The children of Israel are escaping from slavery. I want to let you know that bondage that the enemy has for you is slavery. He intends to keep you in chains forever. And so, that being the case, the Lord says to them, he says, you know, you may see him, you may hear him, you may even feel him, but you know, he says, he's going to be no longer be with you forever. So, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. You know what our problem is? You're still looking back. Do you hear what I said? The enemy is behind you. God is before you. You need to look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. A couple more things, and I'm going to stop. Oh, I know somebody's got that already. But God's plans of deliverance is forever. Temptation to go back into bondage will be there because we are used to being slaves to sin. Used to it. Oh, I'm going to get real crazy now. Some of you have it already figured out how you got your sin down to a science. Some of you men married and this type of thing, you know exactly when to log on when your wife's not home. You know how to destroy that little trail, little cookies or what do they call them things on there, get them off the, is that right? You know what I'm talking about. You know how to race them and this type of thing. But I need to tell you something, kill the hard drive because they can bring the cookies back because they really won't. But you know what's interesting? If we spend as much time allowing God to bring us freedom as we do planning our next sin, we'd be a whole lot better off. I got to go really fast at this point. We must be ready to remove the links of the chains that have kept us in bondage. I'm going to give you 10 of them real quickly. I may rehearse them again next week, but I got to get them to you today. First one is, number one, guilt and shame over sexual sin. Number one. You say, why'd you put this number one? Because that's the one that gets you the most. Look at me. I'm going to look at some, get eye contact with some folks in here. I'm not condemning you of anything, but Jesus knows. And in some cases, he would tell me, I would never embarrass anybody, but you know what? Why are you worried about me embarrassing you when the Holy Spirit knows everything you've done? Right. Right. And so God wants you to do that. Let me go to number two real quickly. Number two, pain and emotional suffering over mistreatment and abuse. Have people been abused in the church? Yes, they have been. Tremendously so. All types of various kinds of abuse. But the emotional suffering is a hard part to deal with. Some of you are extremely successful and have done well in achieving accolades academically as much as this nature, but I'll tell you what, it does not erase the emotional stuff you've gone through. Let me take you to number three. I'm just introducing these. Unfair losses and brutal treatment. The word unfair is one of those words that we just don't use a lot. But some of you, if you were really to able to take the stage, you say, you know, it's just not fair how I've been treated. That they ripped me off. They took this from me. That my parents did this or some other person did that. I got to move on quickly. Number four, sorrow and resentment over having been cheated or defrauded. Number five, doubt and unbelief in God. There are people in this auditorium today, I don't care if they've sung all the different songs that we've sung, but they still have doubt and unbelief in God. You say, how's that possible? The man whose son had been through all the different trauma and such like this, and he takes him to the disciples can't heal him, and he says, do you believe? He says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. There are people here that believe, but they have got unbelief in their life at the same time. There's a dichotomy working in your spirit. God wants to eradicate that from you today. Let me take you on to a couple more, because I'm going to finish strong today. Number 6. Death of a vision of what you thought your life was going to be like. Ooh, ooh, there's the pain right there. Ah! Some of you never dreamed you'd be in the condition that you're in right now. Or you thought you'd be in a better position than you are right now. And the chains of you being chained to that vision of what you thought your life was going to be, that is holding you hostage right now. Oh my, number 7. Loss of a relationship that has kept you paralyzed and unable to move forward with your life. I'm going there. Look out. Some of you are divorced but still married. You got a piece of paper that says you're divorced, but you're still married to that person that let you go. Oh, wow. Or maybe you never married them. You just lived with them for a long time. That piece of paper didn't mean anything, but you are still hooked up with them and you cannot move on with your life because you're still a part of that old relationship. The chain still holds you right there. Woo. This is one you should have stayed home, but I've... Oh, I got 2 more or 3 more, whatever. Loneliness and abandonment that drive you into addictive substances and relationships. Woo! Oh, you knew what was coming. Loneliness and abandonment that drives you into... I mean, you have got to find that fellow. You got to get that dime bag, 15-cent bag, whatever bag you're getting, to help you deal with the pain. Come on. I'm talking about people in the church. And here's the deal right now. Listen to me. Now that marijuana is legalized, some of you have already bought into the program. And I would venture to say there are at least 10 people in this room right now that have marijuana either in their car, in their purse, or at home. You know why? Because it's legal now. I just need to relax. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke every spirit in this place that tells you it's okay for you to find a substance to replace the power of God. I rebuke it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Whew! Glory to God. Got 2 more. Unforgiveness and bitterness toward those who have hurt you. Those chains are wrapped around you so you're paralyzed. You can't go nowhere in life. Because that unforgiveness, that bitterness plays itself over and over and over and over again. I'm sorry, I'm going to take 5, 10 more minutes. I don't care. Because I got to finish this because it's somebody's freedom on this. Listen to me carefully. Number 10, the fear of the future that keeps you living in the past. Wow. I'm going to take you to one more scripture. God has given you his word and he will deliver you. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5. God has heard your prayers and will heal you. I'm just going to give you one of these and the rest of them I'll finish next week. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5. Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. And on the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord. Repeat after me, please. God has heard my prayer. God will heal me. God will deliver me. As the worship team comes back up here, I want to tell you this, and I'll finish this next week, but there's some business God's going to do today. But I want you intercessors to start praying right now, because God's doing something right now. God's doing something right now. God's doing something right now. Hezekiah was in trouble because he received a word that you're not going to live, you're going to die. And some people have all kind of ideas of why Hezekiah did what he did, or whether he was cowardly or not. It doesn't really matter. But the Bible says that he turned his face to the wall and he lifted up his eyes to God and says, God, I don't want to die. I want to live. And I believe that he could do some more good in the kingdom of God. Without raising your hand right now, I want to ask you a question. Do you want to live? He turns his face to the wall, and then God gives him a word. He says, I heard your prayer. You're going to live. Every head bowed. I have to stop at this point. I put under arrest any contrary spirit in this room. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit just told me. There's several young people here today. When I say young people, I mean specifically, God brought you here today for you to be set free. No one's going to judge you whether you use drugs or have sexual problems or whatever it is. The point is, do you want to be free?
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit directed you to this house today because there's freedom that's available. Oh, if you felt what I felt right at that moment, there are people that are struggling. But somehow the Holy Spirit directed you to this house today and said there's deliverance. Those chains that have held you bound, whether it's for bitterness, whatever it has happened to be. We'll finish the thing on prayer next week about the church and not doing this job, but right now I can't wait. God wants to send his deliverance to you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. Lord, there's a wrestling for souls. Lord, right now in my spirit, I feel the pain of those who've literally cried themselves to sleep. Even after they got what they thought they wanted, it wasn't worth it. And God, I pray for deliverance in the name of Jesus. For people who say today, you know, I want these chains off of me. I want Jesus to heal me. I don't want to die. I want to live. If that's you right now, lift your hand right now. If that's you, lift it up high where I can see it. Lift it up high. I mean high, 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 high. Leave it there for a minute, because I'm going to make the devil real mad. Just leave it now. Lift your other hand long now. Just lift them both up there, because that's going to be a sign of surrender.
Jesus.
Thank Just keep, leave him up there just for a moment, just for a moment, just for a moment, just for a moment. Don't get weary, because God's doing something right now. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to this altar, and there's a song we've already chosen. It's called Freedom. You can put your hands down just for a moment. The rest of you that are in this room that didn't raise your hand, you are a part of my team of intercessors. And if you're not, you can leave. Because God's doing some business in this house today, and there are no spectators.
Hallelujah.
Either you're participating in what God's doing, or God bless you, we'll see you at the picnic. But the Holy Spirit is doing something in this house today.
Yes.
And he's bringing people to a place of freedom. Everyone stand to your feet right now. Those of you that lift your hands, I want you to come right now. Do not wait for your friends to come. You come right now. In Jesus' name, come right now.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.